What is your favorite sport pastime? Well, for many of us, we really can't get into sports anymore, can we? But we watch them on TV, don't we? For many of us, it's baseball. I've heard you talking about how you stay up late at night and you watch those Tigers through thick and thin. For others, it's football. This is football season, and many people really enjoy football. Others, it's basketball. How about fishing? Any of you go fishing? Oh, Shirley fishes. My father felt that a bad day fishing was better than a good day at work. He loved to fish. He enjoyed it so much. I remember as a kid, he would take me fishing with him. I lost more baits than fish I ever caught. The balance is totally uneven. I was constantly losing baits, getting them caught in the rotors of the motor or catching them on logs or something. I think I was more of a nuisance than I was a companion. But fishing is very popular. They have contests now. You might even see the Bassmasters who will compete, and they have those televised now, and they show the competition. There are some other programs they have on TV that deal with fishing, too. Have you watched the one where they hunt for whales? They hunt in the ocean for whales. And the other one that I used to watch for a while until it began to scare me too much, and that was Deadliest Catch, where they fish in the north, up in Alaska, and the ice that's on the trawlers, and that just got a little too much for me. Well, fishing is that kind of a sport where you can do it by yourself, alone, or with somebody. And there are many people who use it as an occupation. It's their source of livelihood. And so there will be several of them that will come together and work together for the enterprise of fishing. The Lord Jesus used that as the foundation for the parable of the net. Let's read that scripture and take a look at it perhaps with a little different view to it. Matthew 13, I'll read verses 47 to 50 and refresh our minds of this parable. And here's what it says. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come and sever the wicked from the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. At the time that Jesus gave this parable, people used several different methods of fishing. There was the common one you think of, where one person, one line, and maybe a hook or two on the end, casting it and trying to catch fish. That's exemplified by Peter when was asked by the Lord Jesus to go and cast his hook into the sea and pull up a fish. And he would find in the mouth of that fish a coin, and to take that coin and to pay the temple tax for Jesus and Peter. One man, one line, one hook, one fish. One man could also fish with a net. This net was circular. It had weights around the outside edges of it, and it had a rope in the middle, and they would wade out into the water until they located what they thought was an attractive school of fish, and the fishermen would cast the net out over the fish and let the net kind of settle down with the weights around the fish. And then he would yank on the cord and it would close up the net and close all the fish, and then he would drag it to shore. There was a third method, and this was using a very large net. A long net that had corks placed along the top of it and weights along the bottom of the net. And they would attach one end of this net either on shore or they would fasten it to another boat. and they would drag that net into shore. And as they dragged that net into shore, it would accumulate anything and everything in its wake, and they would just pull it right onto shore. And as they pulled it onto shore, the fishermen would then sort out all that the net had dragged onto shore. And this could take quite a process, because in the Sea of Galilee, there were 24 different varieties of fish. And of those 24 different varieties of fish, there were clean fish and unclean fish. God had given them a law as to certain kinds of fish that were clean. These were ones that had scales and fins. And then there was unclean fish that did not have scales and fins. Those were bad fish, unclean fish, not fit to eat. They ate and preserved for food the fish that had scales and fins. So they would sort through all the collection from the net. And they would cast the bad fish aside, and they would preserve the good, clean fish. The crowd that Jesus spoke to on that day understood the parable. They knew what he was talking about, because in that crowd were fishermen who fished that specific way, using a dragnet. They understood the picture. And Jesus gave them that picture because of its familiarity to them. And in using this particular process of fishing as the basis of the parable, it differed from many of his parables. Most of his parables relied upon the particular pieces within the parable to give its meaning. This parable relied upon a process to give a meaning for the parable. One of the meanings that we can see very clearly described for us right in the passage, it says, "So shall it be at the end of the world." Jesus used this picture of fishing with a draw net to call attention to his followers of the coming consummation of the age. Jesus wanted them to know things won't just continue on and on and on and on and on and on forever. The end is coming. There is an end. There is a consummation. The kingdom which I have presented to you, Jesus said, will have a consummation to it. It is coming. It is certain. Just as the fishermen would drag the net to shore, and to be a consummation, the end of the fishing practice, so the end of the world will come just like that. There will come the consummation of all things. God will bring an end to his ages-long process of bringing sinners to repentance and bringing them to reconciliation to himself. It began with creation, then came the fall, then came redemption, which is the time period we now live in, is the time of redemption. Consummation is yet to come. But Jesus wanted to inform his followers and to warn them, it's coming. A consummation will come. And it will come in similar fashion as fishing with a dragnet. Another thing that the Lord Jesus wanted them to see from this parable was the process at the end of consummation. What would occur when they got the fish to shore? Oh, there's a sorting process. There's a separation that occurs. The fishermen would sit on the shore and they would separate the good fish from the bad fish. The bad fish they would discard. The good fish they would put into vessels and collect them and preserve them ultimately for their own food and ultimately also to sell in the marketplace. But it had value. They would preserve the good. Jesus wanted his followers to know at that coming consummation, a separation will occur. "I will send forth my angels," he said, The angels will go forth and they will separate the just from the unjust. We don't think that way, do we? Oh, we really don't. We really do think that everyone will make it, don't we? Everyone will make it. God is a God of love. He could never cast anyone aside. He's a God of love. And besides, it doesn't really matter which way you choose. Just choose a way and God will accept anybody and everybody. Just be there and God will accept you all. That's not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures teach that at the consummation of the age, separation will occur. The just from the unjust. The righteous from the wicked. Those who belong to the kingdom from those who do not belong to the kingdom. Separation will occur. Not everyone will get into the kingdom. Some will get into the kingdom. Some will not get into the kingdom. Jesus wanted to remind and warn his followers, yes, the consummation is coming, and at that consummation, a separation will occur. The righteous from the unrighteous. And he wanted to not only inform them of that truth, but warn them. Because at that day, as he described it here, the unjust will be cast into a burning fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, I don't want that. That's not the destination I have in mind. But Jesus wanted them to know the realities of the consummation. Another thing he wanted them to know from this parable, and I just briefly touched on it, but I want to make sure you catch the emphasis of it because Jesus emphasized it in the parable, is the condemnation that will occur to those who do not belong to the kingdom. Condemnation is coming also. Not only a separation, but a condemnation for those who do not belong to the kingdom. And my dear friends, that's not pretty. That's not pretty. You will not be separated unto a place that's like here. Oh no. You will be separated to a place of burning fire, it says. And in that place, there will be wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Condemnation. Condemnation for those who fail to believe and to trust the provision that God has made for us in Christ Jesus, His Son. What conclusions can we draw from this parable and the truths that Jesus wanted His friends to see and to understand? Although presently the activity of Christ and His kingdom permits the just and the unjust to coexist, a day is coming when He will gather everything together and will separate the just from the unjust. Just unto glory with Him, unjust unto eternal fires. Now at first glance, you might be really repulsed by that and say, how could God ever consign anyone to a hell like that? I don't believe that's going to happen. Well, my friends, then what you have done is you have called Jesus a liar. And God's word is untrue. Because the Scriptures speak often and frequently about a coming consummation and the judgment that will occur at that time. John the Baptist, when he introduced the Lord Jesus, he said, this man, the one who was to come, the Messiah, he has in his hand the winnowing fan, and he's going to make a separation between wheat and chaff from his threshing floor. And the wheat he will gather into vessels, and the chaff he will burn with fire. That winnowing fan is like a shovel where they would They would thrust it into the pile of grain and chaff, and they would throw it up in the air. And the wind would make a separation between the wheat and the chaff. The chaff would blow away because of its lightness. The wheat would fall down to the ground safely. John was saying Jesus is going to be like that. He's going to make a separation between the wheat and the chaff. We studied a few weeks ago the parable of the wheat and the darnel. The wheat and the weeds growing up simultaneously. And we also read that at the end of that parable it says, but at the end of the world he's going to send forth his angels who will separate the wheat from the tares. And what will they do with the tares? They will bundle them together and they will gather them and they will throw them into the fire. Wheat they will gather under their barns. Another parable the Lord Jesus taught about this coming day, and he used the picture of sheep and goats. And at that day of consummation, when he comes to make a separation, he will separate the sheep from the goats. The goats will go into eternal damnation. The sheep will join with him in eternal glories. The scriptures speak repeatedly and often about that coming day. The scriptures want you to know that. God provides it as a warning to you to prepare for that day, lest it take you by surprise. We don't know that date. Jesus himself, when asked when that date would come, he said, I don't know that date. Only the Father knows that date. And at that time, he will send forth his angels, and I will come and sit upon my throne and make judgment. We don't know that date. Furthermore, you don't know that date when you might pass from this life. And you don't have control over that. That's in God's hand. Jesus wanted his followers to know the certainty of the coming consummation. He wanted them to know the certainty of the separation that will occur on that day. He also wanted them to know the certainty of judgment, condemnation for those who do not belong to the kingdom of Christ. A great and sobering day awaits us. Have you prepared? For what? What difference does it make? I've got now. I'm going to live life to the fullest that I can now, and I'm not even going to think about the future. Who cares? What difference does it make? All the difference in the world, my friends. All the difference in the world. Jesus used this simple picture, familiar to all of his guests, of fishing with a dragnet. They knew the consequences of dragging the net to shore and the separation that would occur. They'd seen it. That was an everyday occurrence in their lives. They knew what he meant. But in grace and in mercy and in loving patience, he presented to them the truth of the coming Christ, the consummation of all things. What difference does it make? And it's coming. For you, it might come earlier than the ultimate day of the end of the world. But you don't get overs. You don't get, as they call in golf, a mulligan. You don't get a second chance. You've only got now. You only have today. And of today, you are really only promised right now. You're not promised this afternoon or this evening or tomorrow. We don't know what that day will bring forth. But you do have now. And Jesus wants you to know the realities of his kingdom and of his ministry. Knowing that, then, how should we live? What should we do? How should we respond to the truths that Jesus presented in this simple story? We need to examine ourselves. That day will come upon us sooner than we think, and certainly quicker than we want. Have you prepared? As of today, if the King were to come today, and announce that today is the day of consummation. I will begin my separation. Where would you go? Would you be in the group that belongs to the kingdom of Christ because you have trusted Him and trusted Him exclusively, not resting upon your own goodness, your own good righteous deeds, your own wonderful thoughts and works, not trusting any of that, but just trusting Jesus? Or would you be discarded, severed away, condemned to eternal fires? Where would you go? Some of you, you can say emphatically, right there, the kingdom of Christ. I belong there because I have trusted Christ. There was a day when I trusted Him and I called upon Him to be my Lord and my Savior, and I have walked with Him since that day. And you can say that with great clarity and assurance. But maybe you can't. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you trust in your own good works, your faithfulness to church, you're reading the Bible, you're going to Sunday school as a youngster, you're being a good man, a good woman. Oh, that's not going to work. Because you see, the entrance requirements into the kingdom of Christ are, as He spoke many times, repent and believe. Repent, turn from your sin and believe me. Trust me. We all know quite well John 3:16. But do you know the verses that immediately follow it? They're part of it. I'll read them for you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Very simple. Simple enough that a child can believe. I trusted Christ as my Savior as a young child. It's that simple. Oh, but what does the rest say? Immediately following it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Where do you stand? I urge you this morning, on the one hand, if you have trusted Christ, the coming of the consummation doesn't frighten you. You don't have fear and trepidation about that day, because you know at that day, the Lord Jesus will own you and He will say, "Over there, that's where my children are. Go join them." That day, you look forward to, because you will rejoice with the King forever. Others of you, however, maybe can't say that. For you today, I implore you, I urge you to heed the warning of Jesus from this simple story. Used it to talk about the consummation of the ages. Separation will occur. You will either rejoice or undergo condemnation. You can join the kingdom today by turning from your sin and trusting Christ. The only Savior of sinners. There's not three or four of them. There's not one for every religion. There's not one for every society on earth. No, there's one. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Trust Him today. I pray that the Spirit of God will come to you today, and on the one hand reassure you of your faith and trust in Christ, and of the glorious expectation that you have of joining Jesus in His kingdom. And on the other hand, to draw you to Jesus, to bring you to faith in Jesus Christ alone. Simple enough for a child, good enough for you. I pray that the Spirit of God will come to you today and do that work in your life now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this simple story and how you used it to inform us and to warn us of a coming day when you will sit on your throne in judgment and separate the just from the unjust. Just into your kingdom and its glories forever, the unjust unto eternal punishment. What a sad day that will be for many. And Father, I don't know the status and condition of my friends before me today. I pray that you will bring into their hearts and lives an understanding of the truth of your word. Open their eyes to see the truth. Open their eyes to see the reality of their condition before you. For some, you will confirm to their minds and hearts that they belong to you. Others, you will confirm to them that they do not belong to you. I pray that today, in those lives, you will bring about faith and trust in Jesus, the Savior of sinners, that they too might join that kingdom of Christ that will become the heavenly band and rejoice with Him forever. I ask these things, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the honor and glory of your name. Amen.